Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Freedomizers. We're so glad to have you here. This is Cheryl, a.k.a. See the Power, in the chat room. That's at www.freedomizerradio.com. Welcome to the next 3 hours, Sabbath Show and Team Free State, also a.k.a. See the Power, of people working together. Thank you for joining us. Into home base.
Yeah, no reason to sit around wasting time.
That was perfect. Perfect. So glad to have you here with us today.
Glad to have made it just in time.
Oh, you have a great laugh.
Had you worried there, thought I was going to let you down.
No, I knew you were going to be there. I did.
Well, fortunately, my wife reminded me that it was 3 o'clock because she heard my computer dinging away that I had to be on. We didn't hear the earlier ding.
Oh.
But fortunately, everything is, we're here on time. I heard the music and I thought, well, that was close.
Oh. So what's our topic today?
Men. Always late and never ask directions. I'm here because my wife reminded me, which is why God saw that it was good that man was not be alone.
Very good.
So he created Eve to make sure that man showed up on time.
At least to fill in until he got there, right?
Okay, something like that. Anyway, I talked last week about the role of women and how that's become so distorted in our time today, where women actually think the idea of being a mother and a housewife and a homemaker is somehow a degrading occupation, but if you work for a major corporation, then you've made something of your life, which is absolutely the reverse of the truth. But if we're going to have a show about women, we need to have a show about men. And so I thought I would go through some of the things that don't understand about who they are and what they need to do. We see this the country going to Hades in a handbasket, so to speak, breakdown of society. We've got people, there was this recent event where a young man was shot by a community watch individual, and there's all kinds of rabble-rousing and confusion as to what went on, and I actually don't know what went on, but I know you can't try somebody in the media. And but the fact is people are shot every day. On a single weekend in major cities, there's like 48 shootings. I think it was on St. Patrick's Day. There was 48 shootings in a major city in the United States. Many of the people died, including a young girl who was just getting into a car with her mother and all sorts of things. I mean, actually, this week in Florida, there was a 15-year-old boy, actually 17 now, but he was finally convicted for murdering 2 English tourists just to steal what they had on them. He was 15 at the time he committed the murders. There's someone who, two young boys actually set a 12-year-old on fire we're hearing these stories. Actually, we don't hear them all the time, but they happen every day. Murder and mayhem, people killing their families, killing themselves. What's going on with society that it is degraded to this extreme? We've always had strange events and murders in the past and criminals in the past, but it seems to be so pervasive now that, but yet we live in a kind of sterile environment in our neighborhoods that we don't actually realize how bad things are getting and how the breakdown of the family has become so complete. So many families are literally dysfunctional or completely fall apart. And yet family is what society is born out of. It is the birthplace of society. And yet we don't seem to know what it is to be a family. And I think part of that is that we don't know what it is to be a community. We don't know what it is to be a society. We've moved into our TV rooms and into all the distractions of our modern society has to offer, and then we've also become heavily worked or heavily drugged or heavily something so that we're not confronting the essential facts of life and we're not building a society based on virtue and character but built on something else. And men need to step up and take their place in recovering the part of society that wishes to turn around and return to those values. I heard a piece where they were talking about how popular country western music is all over the world. Country western singers who we don't even hardly know of anymore in this country, they've all been replaced by a younger generation of music and pop music. We'll go to places like Zimbabwe and have 40,000 people in a soccer stadium to listen to them. And they'll go to China and Japan and all over the world. Their music is well received, and it's kind of a phenomena why they are so popular everywhere. And the people studying this have come to the conclusion it's because country western music, as the joke always goes, if you stop listening to country western music, what happens? Well, you get your house back, your job back, and your wife back. Because the country western music is always whining, almost has a whining tone to it about what you've lost. It's about the past, about going to that old cabin, the way it used to be. And everybody in every culture has that desire, the story of wanting to get back to something we feel like we lost. And sometimes we equate that with our youth or where we were somewhere years before. And the reality is what we've lost is the character and virtue of society. And if men are the ones who were given dominion at the beginning of creation, then men are to blame for this loss. It's not the women that are to blame, and it's one of the problems with mankind is that they have blamed women, or at least in many cases they blame even politics, for their loss of freedom, their loss of social structure, and it's really the fault of men. And if we go back to Genesis and look at some of the statements that we see talking about the beginning of creation and the creation of man, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So both man and woman are created in the image of God, yet somehow or other we've lost that characteristic that was implanted in us from the beginning. In other words, we've been remade in another image. And what is the source of that? Where did we go wrong? And we have to get all the way back to the root. Everybody's always hacking at the leaves of the problem and the branches of the problem, but they never really get to the root of it. And it goes on to say in Genesis 2:5 that every plant of the field and before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. For something was held back in creation. Now, we have to be careful of drawing pictures from these descriptions. They're not trying to give you an exact description. They're giving you an abstract, metaphoric appearance of creation. That something is necessary in creation in order to make it move and function and adapt. And that thing is man. Man being made in the image of God has a creative power in it, in man, in all men, in all women. There's a creative force flowing through you. But if your image, if your character, if the pattern of your existence is changed or altered from that of God, the Creator, then what you're going to create in the universe around you, in the neighborhood around you, in your home around you, is going to be something different. And what's happened is that man has died to that source of life because he's turned away from the source of life and consumed from a different tree. This is what the story of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil has a place in the garden, in our existence, but it isn't the source. And if we go to it for the source of our direction, the source of our wisdom, the source of our understanding, we will fall short, we will be altered, we will be changed, and we will move in the direction of death. And that's what's happening in society. Man is taking his creative power, and he is actually creating a system, literally, of death. We have created huge, gigantic war machines. We have created laboratories that are altering the genetic code of our own food supply. We are altering the genetic code of the animals around us. We're altering the code of our own being. And it's going to bring death and destruction of an untold, precedented perspective or an event that we can't even fathom. And it's because we have stepped away from what is metaphorically called the tree of life and began to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what the story is about in Genesis, when we see God talking about man being made in his image, yet being given dominion over everything that's alive on this planet. That God actually, the creation of life is actually held back until man is here, because man's influence on the life around us and the creatures that creep upon the earth is a creative influence that actually designs the world around us. Because we've turned away from this tree of life on a metaphysical basis, on a quantum level, we're actually altering life around us. And we actually see the results of that, where we actually physically build laboratories where we create GMOs. I mean, the creation of GMOs is far more threatening than Iran getting a nuclear bomb, far more threatening than the Soviet Union arsenal of nuclear weapons, or our own arsenal in the United States of nuclear weapons. But yet, there they go, creating it in vast amounts. Already we're seeing the results of these GMOs in places like India, where when animals are turned into a field of cotton, after they pick the cotton, the animals all die because they've been genetically altered. The cotton has been genetically altered, and the plants around it are acting in a different way. And in the metabolism, we see this where dairy herds are getting 15, 20, 30, 40% sterility in your dairy herds, which destroys the dairy. The dairy completely goes out of business because of this genetic altering of the corn that they're consuming, and now they're altering the alfalfa. And people, because of their greed, are just jumping on that bandwagon, planting those crops. And those people who will resist are eventually gobbled up or oppressed by a huge legal system. And this is going on, and people are running around trying to get the next iPhone or the next technological wonder or the next CD that's come out or DVD that's come out. And their destruction is being laid out. It's like a giant mega monster marching through your cities, destroying everything around you. And you don't even notice. You just sit there watching your TV in the house. Societies already, you can go to cities like Detroit and almost any city, Baltimore, anywhere, and you'll find sections of those cities that are almost uninhabitable. The police don't even want to go in there. They are dangerous cesspools of violence and mayhem. But I tell you, if you turn back, if you turn around and reach out again to the Father in real ways, not this daydreaming, imaginative, superstitious way that we often see in churches, but really get down and see the naked soul of your being and reach out, that you will be given force and power, not to control the world, but so that the world will not have control over you. And you'll be able to walk down a street where men are rioting and they will not be able to touch you. They will not be able to harm you. You will be able to go where the poisons and the plagues go, and you will not be killed. But you cannot do this if you're out to save yourself, because that's not the character of God. We see that in Christ. Christ didn't come to save himself. He came to save others. So you must, in order for you to have that power of Christ to raise the dead and be raised yourself from the dead, you have to come with that same character of caring about others as much as you care about yourself. And in the case of Christ, he cared about others even more than himself. He came with a sacrificing heart, a self-sacrificing heart. The systems of the world are the absolute antithesis of that. They will sacrifice you. They will tell you to fight to the death to protect them, because they are the antithesis of Christ. That's not coming. That's here. People are worried about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is already amongst you. It's everywhere on your streets. It's in your high places of government. It's in your churches. They are here to devour you, and they are doing a darn good job of that. And they're going to devour your children as well, unless you wake up and return to the tree of life. But when they ate of the tree of life, they realized they were naked, it says, man and wife. But before that, they knew they were naked, but were not ashamed. Again, these are metaphors, and you lose a lot in the translation. But think about what they're talking about. What does it mean to be naked? It means without covering. They had no power or authority of their own. They needed to be plugged in, if you will use that metaphor, into the tree of life to have the power to do what they needed to do, which was till the soil, to dress it and keep it, to hold dominion over the life of this planet. If you're not plugged in to the tree of life, you may hold dominion, but you will hold it in a way that you will bring around about death and destruction, and that's what we see taking place. Those that are in dominion and hold dominion and run the courts and run the governments that you have created, the beast that your churches ride, are out to destroy you. And that it's out of control, that it goes about devouring who it will. You have to get off the menu. You have to get into another realm. And that's what's keeping us from getting into that realm. That's where we need to go. But what is keeping us from getting into that realm? In Genesis 3:6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," meaning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple tree. It wasn't even a tree. This is a metaphor for the way in which you think. The tree is the mind that is in your body, the nervous system that is in your body. Your nervous system is a sending and receiving device. It actually sends out signals. It receives signals. It can also think and project ideas and pictures on a screen in your own mind. And you can construct those images in your mind. If you become hateful and angry, you will produce actions that will bring about more hate and more anger. If you truly love the love of Christ, I mean, there are two kinds of love. We'll get into that later, maybe after the break, if somebody asks the question. But if you have the true love of Christ, the love of the Father, the love the Father had when he created life, then you will get a different result. But we don't have that now. We've been remade. Again, when did that begin? How do we get back to where we were? We're the prodigal sons. We're the sons who have left. We've gone out and squandered our inheritance. And now some of us are wanting to repent and return. What is the spirit that we need to have in order to return, to be accepted back into the Father's house, to be plugged back in, so to speak, to that tree of life? To have that power and dominion over the fishes and the things that creep and the things that fly in the air. How do we get back to that? So the woman saw that the fruit was good and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. In other words, to be wise in one's own eyes. She took of the fruit thereof. Now, she knew she wasn't to do that, but the command was originally given to man. And she did eat of the fruit, but then she gave the fruit to her husband and with her, and he did eat. He knew he wasn't to eat. There's even a conversation in the text where he realizes that this is the fruit that we should not eat, and he went forward to eat anyway. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, that creates a Renaissance painting and picture of fig leaves and everything. The problem is that the Hebrew word that we see translated into fig leaves, the exact same three letters, are also translated into lies. In other words, they wove lies to cover the truth of their nakedness. Now, they knew they were naked before, but now they see it, that they were unplugged from the tree of life. They didn't have any source before. They still don't have a source, but now they know it, and they start weaving a pattern of lies to cover up the fact that they had done wrong. And we see this in Genesis 3:16. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That is one of the most misunderstood quotes in the Bible. What had happened when God came to Adam and said, according to the way the story is, and trying to communicate an idea and a precept to you, asking Adam what he did, his response was not, Lord, I have disobeyed thee, and I have separated myself from the tree of life and eaten of the tree of knowledge, and so that I would be wise in my own eyes, and I have done wrong, please forgive me. His comeback was, the woman you gave me the fruit. He did not take responsibility for what he did. He wove lies, twisted truth, in order to escape the responsibility of his actions, his sin against nature, because it is in man's nature to be connected to the tree of life. A tree of life is a powerful source of energy that flows directly from God. When it gives us information, we call it revelation. When it gives us power to do what is natural for man to do, such as heal and give sight to the blind and cast out demons, When it gives us the power to do that, we call it a miracle. It's not a miracle. It's reality. It's what we should be all along. Now, is there a question? Is there anything going on in the chat room that I need to know about? I was hearing some extra noises there.
Sorry, that was me trying not to sneeze in your ear.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, good thing.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, you've got to talk there, Brother Gregory. We're loving your program. I really enjoy what you're saying about people, you know, how your thoughts manifest your reality. I love that.
It changes you. It changes the people around you. We see it in evidence in society such as mass hysteria, where you get people thinking in a particular way, and you can do that on a grand scale now with TV, because everybody will be plugged in watching the same ridiculous thing on TV or the same news report on TV. And we have somebody in the network that was actually doing an experiment that, you know, when you have a random number generator, actually creates random numbers. I'm not the guy to probably explain this, but they noticed that there's a change in the numbers that are being produced. You know, you get in a certain number of odds and a certain number of evens and all this, but there's a change when there's a traumatic event in the news in the world. There should be no connection. That should be constantly averaging out the same way in this random, but they actually see the emotional level of the entire planet will alter the way in which those random numbers come out, and every scientist would tell you that's impossible. But there's a quantum effect. We're actually changing things around us. You know, scientists used to always think there were so many standards, like the Schumann resonance of the planets, the resonance which the frequency of the planet stays the same. Well, now they're finding out it doesn't stay the same. It changes. The speed of light is not a constant. It's actually slowing down. There's all kinds of things that we as people, because of this creative power that is built into our natures by God when he created us in his image, is actually recreating the face of the earth. Unfortunately, because we have strayed from being plugged into the tree of life, we are recreating the earth in an image that does not give life, in an image that gives death. But the hope is those of you, and it doesn't have to be all, it doesn't have to be the majority, it just has to be a minority of people who come together and begin to strive to return like prodigal sons, to plug back in to that tree of life, can make all the difference in the world. And we are to make all the difference in the world. And again, it's not our power, because we are naked, we have no power of our own, but it's the power of God working through us. We each must become conduits. So the second half of the show is going to be, how do we plug back in? How do we know if we're plugging into the tree of life or we're just plugging into another artificial tree of knowledge of good and evil? And that's what we'll talk about when we come back after a few words from our sponsors.
Okay, thank you very much. You're listening to the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory here on freedomizerradio.com. We're back, and it's all yours, Brother Gregory.
Okay. Anyway, I said I was going to talk to you a little bit about how to know if you're plugging back into the tree of life, because evil wants dominion over this planet. It was given to men, but if you don't keep that dominion, remember the command was dress it and keep it. The mere idea that God said dress it and keep it gives you the idea that you could lose it. And, of course, that's the intention of evil, is to take the dominion of this planet away from you so that he has dominion and you have no place to be and that you're merely a slave to his bidding. And most of you have become slaves to the bidding of evil. We see the beginning of that under Samuel with, it's not really the beginning of it, at least the beginning for Israel under Samuel, where they said they wanted a king. They wanted someone, a government official who could exercise authority, who could fight their battles for them. That means they wanted a government that was not a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, but they wanted a government that was of a ruler. And, well, as soon as you get a government of a ruler, you have a government for the ruler, by the ruler, and of the ruler. And so you don't want that, because that's not, you want God to be the ruler of your nation, not through a central theocracy, but through a pure republic where God in your heart rules you. God in my heart rules me. Now, of course, there'll be many people who God is not in their heart, and God will not be ruling them. But if you are really plugged into the Holy Spirit, you will have the power to live in such a society and make such a society the kingdom of God. The majority of the people are not going to be seeking after the ways of God. Half of the people are probably lukewarm. Some of the people are seeking the ways of evil, and some of the people are seeking the ways of good. But unfortunately, the institutions we have created that say to seek God here and seek God there are not actually showing you God. They have created a false image of God, and they are leading people astray. So how do we know when we're seeking God? How do we know that we're plugging in? Well, let's go back to that Genesis 3:16 quote where it says, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Men often use that as a license to exercise authority over women as if they were some sort of tyrannic, Babylonic Caesar or Pharaoh. That is not what that statement is saying. The word husband there is normally over 1,000 times is translated man. That is the word for man. The desire shall be to thy man. In other words, you will desire a man, but you won't get him. Because Adam wasn't being a man when he succumbed to the temptation and gave in. He should have said, no, I'm not going there. And I'm not eating of that fruit. I'm not going to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to stay plugged into the tree of life. But he didn't. And he fell from being a man because at that moment he was no longer made in the image of God. He was now acting in a selfish way, in a prideful way. And the good woman is constantly looking for the man who will be a man. But what she's going to get is men who want to rule over her. A real man wants his wife to be ruled by God. He doesn't want to rule over his wife. He doesn't want to be the dictator. He won't be dictated to, but he doesn't want to be the dictator. He wants her to do what is right because it is right, because she loves what is right. They are no more twain but one flesh, and they should be one spirit. That is the truth. The word truth actually means, in the Greek, the word truth actually means in spirit and in flesh. Not just in spirit, not just the idea of being good, but you are actually good in your mind, in your soul, and in your spirit, but also in your flesh. And that's what a lot of people don't realize when they, about half of the New Testament is Paul. And I actually have a debate coming up next week with somebody who thinks Paul was an apostate. And I'm going to be on his radio station on RBN, and we'll announce it to the Living Network. And we're going to talk about Paul and his... His point of view of Paul is a little bit different than what we're seeing in a lot of churches, but a lot of churches use Paul's gospel to say that we aren't saved by works, but we're saved by faith. And, of course, that's true on the surface, but if you don't read the rest of Paul, you don't understand what he's saying. Because if you mention anything about keeping the commandments, that's works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. And they get away from it. And they think that we're not under the law anymore. And I'll explain maybe a little bit later the two different types of law that are mentioned in the Bible and mentioned in almost every culture. And so when he says not under the law, which one is he talking about? That's a very important question, which most of your ministers and pastors haven't got a clue even how to answer, much less do they know what the answer is. But in Galatians 5:18 it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And in Galatians 5:19, he goes on to say, "Now the works," he's talking works here, "of the flesh are manifested, which are adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. These all have Greek meanings. There's a lot more: envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling. All these things, any of these things, it says, and such the like, anything like those things, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the guy that said all you have to do is believe? He just said if you're doing any of those things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're doing any of those things, you're not plugged into the tree of life. To whatever degree you're doing those, and be very careful of that. I'm not giving you license to dabble in that, because you're either going one way or you're going the other. You will not inherit the kingdom. If you don't inherit the kingdom, you will not be prepared for what is coming. You will not be putting on the full armor of God. Now, he goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit, and as the works of flesh, now he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You don't need law if you have Christ in your heart, because you already have the law written in your hearts. And I really should go and talk to you about the law real quick here. And I'll let Cheryl interrupt me if any questions come up in the chat room. But there's all this, you know, in most languages, there's two words that can be translated into the word law. And in Latin, for instance, it's jus, juris is one of those words. And the other one is lex legis. And lex legis means to bind. And jus juris means what is just, right, and fair. In our system, we have a legal system, but we also have a system of law. What is statute really falls under the legal system. And the statutes of Moses falls under a legal system. But the law is what is just, right, and fair. Some define the law, and you'll even find this in Black's Law Dictionary and Bouvier's Law Dictionary, that law is the will of God, divine will. That's law. And it's up to us to figure out what that is. But statutes is based on binding. Actually, lex legis comes from the word bind. It has to do with making contracts, covenants, and even constitutions that bind you under an authority, because you apply to that authority for benefits. And so in the Bible, in the New Testament, we see only one word translated law, and that's nomos. Well, that word nomos is defined as anything established, a custom, a law, a command. It actually comes from a word that means to parcel out, especially food or grazing to animals. That's what the word that they're using and translating into law is, as nomos. It's man-made law that was nailed to the cross. It is the statutes of the Pharisees that we are no longer under if we accept Christ, because the Pharisees already decided that we were cast out of their system if you accept Christ and you get his baptism, as opposed to the baptism of Herod. And see, what it is this man-made law, this legal systems that we create and are pervasive throughout the world today, are all the products of the tree of knowledge. It's where we decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. Now, occasionally we hit it. We actually decide murder is wrong. But then we decide that abortion is okay. Bombing other countries is okay because of the act of some terrorist in some far-off land, or some crime that is committed by a dictator in that country that the people have no control over, means that we get to go in and bomb that country. It doesn't. It's still, that's murder. I mean, if someone's robbing a bank, you don't get to throw grenades in the window, because there's hostages in there. There's people in it. Innocent people will die. You just have to let them rob the bank and maybe catch them somewhere else. But that's legal systems are not law, except by contract. Law is something else. So what word, since there is no other word in the New Testament that, that translates law, is there another word in the New Testament that should have been translated law to give us the idea of what is just, right, and fair? Well, actually, there is. Dikaioma, which comes from dikaios. What does that mean? And what is it translated in? It actually is from the word that means divine law. It actually has to do with observing divine law. It is defined as that which has been deemed right so as to have the force of law. A righteous act or deed. So what word is that and how is it translated? It's translated into the word righteousness. That's because that's what we're supposed to be seeking. You could actually say when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his law. His law. What is his law? It's basically the Ten Commandments, which we should have a whole show just on the Ten Commandments. We actually have had some already. We have them recorded on the site, like Preparing You and other places. If you join the network at hisholychurch.org, there will, people will steer you to where you can go and hear those explanations of what the Ten Commandments is. The statutes of Moses were written by Moses to help explain to you the nature of those basic precept upon precept of law. The law is not imposed on you. It's imposed on creation. You live in creation. You break the law. You suffer the penalty. It's built into the system. It's like gravity. You jump off the building. You head for the sidewalk. That's the way it goes. It's already built in. But as I was saying, that if you go back to this tree of life, how do you get back? Well, for one thing, Jesus talks about this prodigal son and goes off and squanders his inheritance, and then he wants to come back to his father's house. Does he come back and want to be immediately put into his father's house so he can do everything that he could do before as the son of his father? No. No, that's not what he does. He comes back to be, as the prodigal son, to be the servant of his father. That's what he's coming back to do. What did Christ come to do? He came to serve, not to be served. He says that right out. I come to serve, not to be served. If you ever follow me, that's what he says. You should come to serve as well. So are you joining groups? Or are you on the internet? Or are you listening to the radio for what you can get out of it? You haven't yet found Christ. Unless you, what you are seeking to get out of it is how you can serve others. Because you need to serve others. Now, does that mean to give to everybody who has a need? No, it means to give to everybody what they need. Sometimes the poor does not need money. They do not need food stamps. They do not need a handout. They need a hand up. But you'll be surprised at the number of them that do not want a hand up. Well, then they don't want what they need, so don't give them anything. Don't feed the poor when the poor don't want to get up from their poverty. Don't help those who don't want to be helped to do the right thing. All you're doing is supporting wickedness. So you have to have discretion in your help. But you have to really want to help. As many as I love, I also rebuke. This is what men need to do. They need to go back, to turn back to that thing that Christ said that we were to be. To that thing that we were when God created us, we need to be plugged into the tree of life and be serving God's purposes, which is to dress it and keep it. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, the tree of knowledge, and all those things I listed off, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law, we're talking about that righteousness, that divine will again, might be fulfilled in us. not only in us, but in our doing, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Somehow or other, people have taken Paul and interpreted him to say that everything, all we have to do is believe, and then we're automatically saved. Over and over again, Paul is talking about us doing the will of the Father, not hearing it alone. And he makes it very clear that if you are doing these things, these unvirtuous acts, which are really the product of the fact that you are going to do those unvirtuous acts if you do not plug into the tree of life. In order to plug into the tree of life, you have to go back with the humility, willing to admit that you cannot figure it out, even with the tree of knowledge, the understanding that you have done wrong. It's not anybody else's fault but you. Now, you have, other people may have tempted you and lied to you and seduced you, but somehow or other, you played a part in that. And admit that you are naked and you cannot be your own covering. And so coming back with those two humilities are often found in the evidence. Are you coming back to serve others or just to be served? Are you coming together so that you can be free or so that others can be free? And these are things that you have to answer in your own heart, or have them answered and be willing to hear the answer in your own heart in order to be plugged into that tree of life, receive that Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, there are several words, kittis and dietage and paradosis, which are all ordinances, and all kinds of words covering different kinds of laws and customs. But those are all on the outside. Once you have the law of God written on the inside, you don't need those laws on the outside anymore. But you may still need to check yourself to see if you are actually plugged into the tree of life. And again, like I said, if you're plugged into that tree of life, you will not be doing those other things. So every time you do those other things, don't judge yourself, don't be angry with yourself, but start don't be angry at yourself. Don't judge yourself, but start looking at that and be thankful that you see there's a problem. You're angry. Embrace that anger. See that anger. Go to that anger. You do the same thing I talked earlier on the show this morning about healing. Go to the pain. Embrace the pain of illness. See it, feel it, accept it. Ask God, what is the message in this pain? Receive it with love and patience. I said that I'd talk about the two kinds of love. I'll just briefly, cats love birds. That's not the kind of love you want to have for each other. And that's mostly what we see in married couples, is that each one loves what the other one can give them. True love has to do with giving life, not getting it from others. And so there's the big difference. If you can figure that out, you can contemplate that for a long time and not figure it out, but you can see it in a second as well. But anyway, men, where do we begin? Well, we begin where we screwed up. We go back to that beginning, and it's a long journey back because we've got a lot of baggage that we are carrying with us. He talks in Ephesians, is a big long thing in Ephesians chapter 5. You can read the whole chapter, but just starting at verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God, not in fear of each other, not based on contract, not based on compulsion, but fear of God. And God says to love one another, and so that's what we need to do. It talks about wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church subjects unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But are those husbands real husbands? See, a guy says, well, I'm your husband, you have to do what I say. Well, are you her real husband? Are you the husband that has become a real man? you know, we have a lot of ideas out there about what is a real man, and a lot of them are false. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? Those men he called out, appointed, and taught, and suffered with, and shared his bread with. How did he love them? He loved them by giving his life for them. Because by giving his life in that manner, the kingdom was reestablished. It was never really gone, but he took the kingdom away from the Pharisees. He appointed it to them, and now they became a free society that was dependent upon each other and the goodwill of each other, operating by the perfect law of liberty. All government benefits were provided by faith, hope, and charity alone. Nobody in the Christian kingdom, the Christian pure republic, was forcing each other to contribute to the welfare. And yet they formed a society so strong that it survived the decline and fall of the Roman Empire and even thrived during that period. What we are facing is 10 times what that was, maybe 100 times what that was. But do we have the faith of that early church? Where does it begin? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Have you given even your pride and your ego up for your wife? Have you given yourself in service to your wife? Are you patient and long-suffering with your wife? Are you impatient as a tyrant with your wife? Are you faithful to your wife? Do you honor your wife? If you do these things, the good woman will cling to you as her husband. And she won't have any trouble obeying a man who is actually making decisions not in his best interest, but in her best interest, in the best interest of righteousness. Jesus gave himself that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by his words, telling us what to do and how to be good men. In order to do that, it begins at home. Once it begins at home, you reach out and find others, because that you are no more twain, husband and wife. Now you need to bring that love out to the community. Not giving to everybody who has a need, but giving to everybody the need that they have. Fulfilling true needs and bringing them back to the righteousness. It's going to be hard finding the gold and pearl nuggets of the kingdom in this society, but we have to begin somewhere, and that's what we're trying to do on the Living Network at HisHolyChurch.org, which I encourage everybody to become a part of by going to the website and joining your local areas, groups, and start organizing yourselves. I'm not going to organize you. You're going to have to organize yourselves. Some places they're doing a fairly good job, but in every place it's an uphill battle because we've lost the secret of a free society. If we find that humility and patience by going back, we will eventually, only God can plug us into the tree of life. We can't even get near it now because we're not willing to see ourselves as we really are. And there's lots of things. We're going to have lots of seminars out here eventually. We're going to have one in the fall at the, we call it the Burning Bush Festival. It's like our fall feast, and it's the last week of September. There's going to be another one in Missouri. You can find out all about that on the Living Network. We're going to have actually kingdom camps out here where we're going to teach people some of the secrets that I only teach around campfires and don't broadcast on the radio. But the important thing is that we have to come together for the purposes of serving others, giving life to others, because that changes the flow and it allows the Holy Spirit to come into us. It will not come into a selfish heart. It's not compatible. It does not fit. It must only come into those who want to give life so that they may have life more abundant, yes, but they are willing to give life based on that faith. Faith in that system of giving life. And that's the nature of God. That was the nature that he created us in. Because we've gone the other way, we have a giant sucking sound in society that is sucking the life out of people. You think taxes are bad. like I said, these GMOs, the poisons that are coming from places like Fukushima, these are all have a detrimental effect. But if we plug back into the tree of life, we will cleanse the earth with the power that comes through us, not from us, but through us. But it will not come through us unless we are willing to submit to that character that God created in man, which was his own character. And it's a character that gives life, not takes it. So anyway, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. We've reached another end of another hour on Freedomizer, and so I'll turn it back over to Cheryl.
Oh, my goodness. We have. Quickly. Well, thank you very much.
I don't know how I keep track of the time. For some reason, I look down there. I'm always this last-second kind of guy.
Well, that's okay, because, you know, you just seem to have a great sense of timing to when we take our breaks and when it's over. It just must be the experience and the practice, huh?
Well, I think it's my teacher. I never know what I'm going to say. People always say, are you going to talk about this? I don't know. I throw out a topic, but I don't know what it is I'm going to say. But we're told not to plan what we're going to say. So.
Well, good. I mean, because, you know, it comes from your heart.
That's right.
It's much appreciated. Well, thank you for tuning in, and we appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you again, Brother Gregory, and we'll take you with your outro, and we'll meet you back on the other side. My guest today on Team Free State is going to be Cookie, my natural healing guru, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.com.